Hey guys, we are back. You're listening to 91.7 FM WYXR, the audio box. Yes.
This is
it's
Devin
your girl,
Trinity
Adair. Go ahead.
See, we always switch, don't we?
Yeah, we do switch, but it's fine. Go ahead.
I am Devin Drain.
And I'm Trinity Adair, and we are here with the lovely
Eki Shola.
Yes, welcome to the show, Eki. Thank you so much for joining us.
Ooh, I got an intro though too.
Okay, yeah, go ahead.
Oh, like a summer. Okay, here we go. So, Eki Shola is a music artist who is ambitious in style and exploration. She combines multiple influences and genres within her songs, including jazz, soul, neo-soul, electronica, and ambient. And her writing is based around introspection and the state of the world. She has performed in festivals across several continents, including Asia, Europe, and North America. And her fifth album, and her latest album, Kairu, was recorded in Japan and with local Japanese artists. And as of last year, she completed her tour around Japan. So, welcome, Eki.
Without further ado.
Yeah. Thank you. Wow, I appreciate it. It's good to be with you both.
Of course. Thank you. So do you just want to take some time to just let us know who you are to someone who's never met you before? Who is Eki Shola? What do you stand for? Everything like that.
Ooh. Okay. Well, right now I am hailing from Japan, and about 20 years ago is my first time that I visited as a medical school exchange student. And I fell in love with the country, and I just knew one day I had to return, but I just didn't know what way. And so fast forward to when the Japan borders reopened in 2022, I had the opportunity to come back and work as a physician in Japan. And so I did that. And one thing led to another, where it was just sort of meeting the right person at the right time, which led me to recording this album in this really beautiful little rural spot in Japan with some incredible artists. And I share that story because if you'd asked me what, you know, my career or my trajectory would look like back in undergrad, I would have never imagined this. And so it's been kind of years of exploring and creating a different career path for myself, and learning to accept living an unconventional life.
And what made Japan stand out for you, out of curiosity?
Oh, so many things. aesthetically, it's just beautiful. Nature, the people are warm, friendly. And I didn't realize this until I was traveling back and forth so much for the last 2 years. I think it's my 20th visit. There's something to be said about, I don't know, I feel sort of the most authentic self when I'm here. And I think there's a lot of reasons. Part of it is the tranquility and the peace, which I think allows you to really be able to reflect and be in the moment. And I'm not erasing my heritage or my ethnicity, but race is so inherently threaded throughout the states. You are consciously aware of who you are, where you are, how you speak, how you act, and that adjusts with whom you are. And that can be mentally exhausting. And it's, you don't realize, or I didn't realize, that was even a burden that was present until leaving the states and coming back. And so it's refreshing to be somewhere where you are visible, but not ostracized, and that you are appreciated and respected just for who you are. And that's powerful. And so that's one of the things that I really love about Japan. And incidentally, I've spoken to other Haven't seen too many where I usually am, but I spoke to some other Black individuals who now have made Japan their home, and they say the same thing. I appreciate, I really do appreciate and feel very grat feel a lot of gratitude for being here when I am here.
That's
I was
beautiful.
showing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you gotta go to Japan if you haven't
Yes,
visited.
definitely on the bucket list for sure.
Yeah.
But let's talk a little bit about the music. You know no bounds when it comes to genres and, you know, just different styles of music. So what is your roots wise? Where does your inspiration come from when it comes to,
Right.
you know, the music
Right.
that you like to make and things like that?
Yeah. Both my parents were musicians, so there was always music in the house growing up. And my mom was one who first taught me, my two siblings, the piano at an early age. So we were classically trained first. But both my parents are Jamaican, so always reggae. And also Tosh, Molly, Wailers, Burning Spear, all that good stuff. So I think that's why I like bass and that driving kind of rhythm probably comes from there. And then just, when I grew up and I got older and I was in college, my younger brother was into electronic music, particularly video game music. And he was the one who first started teaching me how to make beats on this program called Fruity Loops. And and so that was a lot of fun. And just started, making beats in my spare time in undergrad and med school. But jazz was foreign to me until my senior year of college, and I gathered up the courage to audition for our jazz ensemble. I was terrified. This is like a really high caliber group. And I remember, they handed out charts to read, and I sat at the piano. I was like, I don't know how to read any of this, because I only how to read music notes, actual individual notes, not charts. And so I just improvised the whole audition. Needless to say, I didn't get the piano part, but I ended up playing vibes. And that semester really opened my eye to jazz and to improv and to jazz standards. So all of that over the years have really sort of been, I guess, swirling in my whole creative pot. And yeah, it's, what can I say? It's hard to, I guess, know where to put my music, but that's also, I think, the blessing of it too. It's not limited by one particular genre.
For
Yeah.
sure.
And I guess since you went to Japan, and from what I know, you went to different local music spots in Japan and
Yes.
end up running into do you run into someone who's a producer or someone over a recording studio?
Yes, I was introduced to an individual who had a like a music venue, and so my music was sent to him, and he reached out. He was like, oh, I love your music, why don't you come and record? And that's how that opportunity came up. And I was like, oh, that would be dope. And then I found out that that recording studio used to be, that structure, that building used to be an old community hospital. I was like, that is a sign. Come on, music and medicine, I need to make it work. So it was really an incredible experience. And he was the one who introduced me to the musicians who I recorded with. So yeah,
Okay.
that was called Studio Tedemac.
And how was the process of recording, Kairu?
There was a lot of Google Translate in use to communicate. So the album itself, the process was different, I think, than my other first four albums. First, a few of the songs that I had written, I was creatively stuck. And I remember particularly like one song, track number two, Who Are You, it was missing a particular sound that I wanted, but I didn't know what sound it was. And I remember when I went to Japan and after going to some local shows, figuring out, okay, now I know what the sound is. And it was a traditional Japanese instrument called the shamisen that I wanted. And so when I was introduced to Mabino, who is an incredible shamisen musician, when I heard her play, I was like, that's the missing sound. And so there were moments like that, sort of this synchronicity that really led to this album coming together. And I also feel I knew the title of the album before I had written it. The title means to return home. And during the process of recording this album and spending time in Japan, I really again realized that my time in Japan, the process of the time that I was there exploring and connecting, I really realized that to return home is about not only returning to somewhere geographically where you feel connected, but returning home to self. And that's what the album represents.
What were some of the instruments or genres that you were introduced to while you were recording, or just while you were in Japan in general?
Well, I remember going to one show, and in that show, I heard Celtic music, electronic, like new age ambient cello, reggae, flamenco. I've never been to one show where such, diversity was at hand, and all by these incredible Japanese musicians. So then the scene there, music scene, I feel is very open to accepting music that is different. And I really appreciate that. And you don't necessarily feel like you have to just stick to one genre there. And so it's a different experience when I'm performing there. And yeah, I appreciate that sense of openness from the audience and other artists.
I was going to ask you which country has been your favorite to perform in since you've been to so many.
Oh, that's hard. Each place, each area has its own feel. It's also different. And I mean, and I think that's the beauty of music, right? It's a universal language. Despite our differences, our background, our language, we can all really connect through tone and frequency and rhythm. But I must say, one of the coolest performances was performing at the Kyoto Phony Music Festival in Kyoto, in Japan. And it's kind of surreal. There's a song I have called Forest on the latest album. And I performed that literally in the forest. The stage I was on was the forest stage. And it was just, we were surrounded by, we were sort of in this grove of trees, and it was really beautiful, really magical. Yeah.
That sounds beautiful.
Yeah.
How do you make connections music-wise in Japan? Because it's not always the easiest thing to, make music connections, especially like
Right.
in a new country.
Right. It's literally, I feel like it started with one. I did a Google search before going. I was like, okay, where can I go after work, after clinic? What music spots can I go visit? And I started with that. So I met with the owner of Cafe Music Spot and connected on Instagram, and then he introduced me to the owner of Studio Tenema. But it was like, that was like a domino effect, and it was a lot more easier than I thought to connect with people. Everyone was just so willing and just so inviting. And again, a lot of it was Google Translate and or someone who's bilingual could translate. But I really feel that the And I also feel this in the Bay Area where I spend half my time, but there's this sense of connectivity amongst artists and people wanting to truly help each other out. So it was a lot easier than I thought. But it also entailed just going out and just being present. I remember going into an art gallery and meeting some incredible artists there. And so that's why one of my besties said, she's like, when in doubt, go out. So that's my mantra. So if you don't feel like it or whatever, okay, just go.
That's something we could even translate over to Memphis because there's just always something going on over here. And so it's like if you don't go out, you may miss like some grand artist that may have, came by the city that night or just something like that. There's just always something to, refresh yourself on. So that's amazing. That's really good. So as an artist, what has been something that you feel the most proud of that you've produced, something that you continue to look back on, or is there something that you're currently working on that, we'll be able to experience that later on.
Yeah. Good question. I think the proudest thing that I have may not necessarily be the actual music product as so much the recognition and gratitude for the process, the journey. I think I had spent, first, I got into music professionally around 2016, and this whole journey started after my mom passed away from cancer in 2012. And it was writing music that really helped me to process the grief. And that's what really propelled me to want to create and to share it with others. I think when you're doing something different, whether it's musically, career-wise, anything journal, and you're going against, I don't know, status quo or what's expected of you from your friends or family or loved ones or your employers, it can be hard. And I remember, for several years, like, how do I do this music? How do I do this medicine? How do I be a mom? How do I still travel? How do I merge all that? And I almost felt at times that I had to shut down some of those roles in order to be good at some of the others. And I remember my close friend saying, "No, you can do it all. There is a way to merge it." And so I think probably what I'm most proud of is being able to create the career, the lifestyle that allows me to do all of those passions. And then, as I said, that it's okay to be different. And it's also okay to not know where the heck you're going or what you're doing in life and figuring out as you go along. That's okay. So that's, I think, has been sort of the, overriding accomplishment, I would say. And the music has been the really beautiful side effect or product of that.
Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That was so good.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and that's great because sometimes for a lot of people it's hard balancing everything out and it can get overwhelming, but it sounds like you've been, doing really good at balancing everything out, especially because it's you've released like five albums and like since like 2016, right?
Yes, that's right.
And I guess how do you come up with, writing the songs or just coming up with a theme for your albums?
I wish I had like a cool method to share, but
There's no formula to
no
it.
formula, no. I do not have a formula. I write when I feel inspired. And there's different thoughts about that. Some artists say, no, you should have a method of where, you're writing every day, honing your craft every day. And for some people, that's the way it works, but it doesn't work for me. So it's those emotions and it's healing. So whenever I'm feeling, stressed or grief or whatever, it's a way for me to help move those feelings and channel them and come up with inspiring ways to move through it.
Do you feel that since relocating, because coming out with five whole albums in such a short time frame, that's kind of like an artistic superwoman in my eyes, if you think that. Just for me. And so do you feel that since you've relocated, that the inspiration and the creativity has been able to flow better for you? Or do you feel that, you've been able to produce more because of where you're surrounded by?
That's a fantastic question. I don't no, I think the creativity itself, oh, that's a good question. It depends.
Okay.
I mean, it really depends. I think traveling and experience and having new experiences certainly facilitate that creativity, but I don't think it's necessarily dependent upon which country I'm in. I mean, it's yeah. So I don't necessarily feel like I'm more creative while I'm here in Japan per se, but I do know, if whether I'm here or back in California and I'm out, at other artist shows, checking my friend shows out, those experience have been the ones that help kind of create that inspiration. So
Yeah.
that can happen kind of anywhere. You bring it with you.
That's
'Cause I
good.
feel if you kind of limit it to the external,
Yeah.
your external changes all the time, right?
That's a true
So,
artist right there. I hope all our listeners
oh.
can know that.
A hard question. That's a good one.
We don't adhere to invisibility. Our intention is rooted within unity. We've always been here, you just choose not to see. Many fears behind the possibility, embolden yourself and commit to audacity. What power you relinquish and let be? Our identity is not your call for visibility, because we always were and will be. We understand the past, challenge the present, and mold the future to create a true we. Using our creativity to help heal humanity, despite centuries of subjugation and deep brutality. We stand with camaraderie and resistivity. For we are free, we are free. We go where we've always gone. Our art, blessings of love and radical activity. Through our creations, we define reality, lifting those around us into higher spirituality. Vibrating, elevating a collective mentality. Rhymes, murals, songs, performance, and poetry. Designing our own sustainability is a necessity. We birth a space that nurtures inclusivity, mutuality, and community. We show the world how it can be. We show the world how it can be. We show the world how it can be.
I know for your first four albums, how do you work with any other musicians, or was that mainly individual projects?
Yeah, and that was the real difference. One of the big differences with the fifth album, Kairu, is that, yeah, you're right. All the first four were all solo. So I wrote all the tracks, keys, bass, drums, strings, mixed and mastered the last two albums. And yeah, so that the Kairu had a whole has a whole different vibe to it, being able to collaborate with artists, and the energy level was and the experience was very different. I loved it, and I really hope to do more collaborations with other artists.
Well, you have already so much, I mean, just a lot of content. And I know not everybody likes this question, but is there anything new that you're currently working on? Anything else we can expect from you coming up, or, just kind of give us the rundown?
Yes. This album, and this is advice given to me from another musician, because with the first four albums, as soon as I released it, to be honest, I was like, okay, what's next? Gotta get going, gotta start making new content and getting moving. But the advice I was given for this one is like, take your time, enjoy what you just created, spend time with it, be in the present moment. So that's what I'm doing. I'm not really thinking about the future of this right now in regards to, I mean, I'm tinkering and making new stuff. But for now, I really just want to be able to focus still on Kairu and help get the word out about it. And I have a few shows coming up. I'll be playing at a festival, UC Santa Cruz, in April, and then a music festival in the Bay Area this summer. So I have my shows listed on my website if anybody wants to check it out, www.ekishola.com.
That's
Nice.
awesome. Yeah, you have a, because I've looked at your website, you have a lot of shows that you've done. And I was listening to another interview that you did, and you said that initially, and you kind of touched it on here, when you had to do like the piano presentation, where you said that you had, stage fright. So how was the process of overcoming that, or I guess getting used to just being on the stage?
I still get nervous each time. But the only way around it was really to just keep at it. And like in the very beginning, it was me forcing myself just to do an open mic. Because up until that point, I was just kind of producing and doing everything in my home studio. And then I was like, ooh, well, how am I gonna get the music out if I don't share it with others? So it was literally, doing an open mic and then just doing as many as I could. And you never know who's sitting in the audience. And from some of those shows, I got invited to open for some really great artists. So practice. Yeah. And then I think also realizing when you're on stage, we all have a gift. We each and every one of us has a gift to share. And when I'm on stage, all I'm doing is just sharing mine, and I see it as a way to connect. I love playing and performing, but I also, as soon as the show is done, I love stepping down and going into the audience and meeting people and talking to people. And so I think that helps to remove the pressure too. It's just about connection.
That's good.
And you also said that when you would be performing, at first, initially, you were doing a lot of the instrumentals, and I mean, you can kind of see that through your albums, because like the first one is mostly instrumental. Then it's like the ones before Kairu is kind of like a mixture of adding some vocals in there, but Kairu is like almost like a full embracing of, I guess, singing. So how was that process like for you, and where do you get your inspiration lyric-wise?
I was very resistant at first to sing. I would have just been content with instrumentals. But literally, I would do shows and someone would come up and be like, do you sing? I'm like, no. And they're like, you should sing. Like, you look like you could sing. I'm like, what does that mean? So it was actually a lot of encouragement from the audiences when I started to get into writing lyrics and singing. And it sounds basic, but it's just like, oh my gosh, this is a whole other instrument in of itself now. It's part of the whole orchestra. And it's just another way to self-express. So I'm thankful for that encouragement.
That's lovely, especially because I'm a singer myself. And so when people would say
Ah.
that to you, I'm like, no, you do look like a singer. You look like you've got that
The
look. So yeah.
Life is short. Remember, like I told you, don't care no more. Don't care no more. I'm getting older, getting stronger. Don't care no more. Don't care no more. Marching like a soldier, don't care no more. Don't care no more. Let me leave you with this word you can ponder. Don't care no more. Don't care no
Welcome back, guys. You're listening to 91.7 FM WYXR Memphis. We are here with the lovely Eki Shola, and she has been just giving us a rundown on everything. So, yes.
What was your favorite song from Kairu, out of curiosity? Or what was something you enjoyed recording the most?
Oh, it was two of them, but I'll pick.
It can be two.
Last one. Okay, two? I can pick two?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, Falling and Starry. Those are my two favorite.
Was it because of like the recording process or collaborating or like what made them stand
Probably
out for you?
for me, particularly the drummer, Hidenori Sugita, we did a live show, and it was just so much fun performing with him. And again, in the studio recording. As much as I love, creating solo, when you're collaborating with artists, it just takes it to a different level. The energy changes. You don't know necessarily what's going to happen, especially live. And so it was just really fun to co-create with him.
And I know for the album, at least for the musicians that you work with, you kind of did like a Miles Davis, because he
Oh,
would say, "Oh yeah,
an
just
honor.
he'll give them like the basics of what he wanted." Because I know for Kind of Blue, he would give the basics of what he wanted. Then it'll be like for Everything Goes, you can kind of improvise or kind of go with the feel, and that's kind of what you did for your album, right? So I guess what's the importance of improvising, or what do you value in it the most?
Yes, that's a great question. Yeah, I when we got into the studio, the artists, I think were expecting that I would have some charts, music charts for them. And I was like, I don't have any. So I think there's a little tension there to begin with, and I said to them, don't worry about that. For some of the, for I think pretty much most of them, I had at least, the piano tracks, the bass line down, and I played it for them. And I said, just be you. Just add your own style, your own touch to it. Let's see what happens. So it was a collaborative experiment. And I think pretty much, on all the songs, it's like the first take was just the best. And I'm like, that's it. You got it. Let's do it. And I wanted them to feel comfortable being able to express themselves. But I knew it was also a challenge. And so for a few of them, they mentioned, this is a different way of playing our instruments. And I really appreciate them or their willingness to try something different, something culturally different. And I thought they did great.
Okay, nice. And how's the behind the scenes work, like mixing, mastering, arranging, and all that?
Devin, oi. That was hard. Yeah, that's the first time that I mixed live instruments, and mixing the drums was a challenge. It really was a challenge. I remember at one point I was just like, my dad is also, he mixes his own music. I was like, I'm about to give up, Dad. I'm just gonna give it to someone to finish. He was like, nope, you need to finish this yourself. Okay. But it was just like, it was hard, but it was a great learning process. I'm really glad that I stuck with it. And I mean, with the mixing, it's a whole other process, because I knew what I wanted it to sound like, and I didn't have to do much. It was really just kind of bringing out the subtleties, like when Tatsuya Okabayashi plays the Mongolian Marin Kur, which is a stringed instrument. I wanted the listener to hear when his bow strikes the string, and you hear this rush kind of sound. So it was subtle effects like that that I wanted to enhance. And I knew that if I left that to someone else, it would be really difficult to be able to verbally communicate that to a sound engineer. So I knew that I had to finish it, and I'm glad I did.
Okay.
But yeah, it was hard.
And how long did the album process take, like for recording the album overall?
We did it in two trips to Japan. So first I was just going to do an EP, just like three, four songs. And that was, I think, a few days. But I was like, ah, this is awesome. We need to do more. We need to work together more. So then I ended up flying back over maybe the following month and finishing up. And we, yeah, did the 10 songs.
Oh
So,
wow. Hey, that's awesome.
yeah.
And just to touch on lyrics, like again a little bit more, what was your inspiration or what were your influences music wise? What was your influence lyric wise and writing wise when it came to Kairu?
Before, so I was taking a Japanese, beginning Japanese class over a year ago. That's when I first learned of the word kairu, which means to return home. And I remember learning that verb, and I was like, that's going to be the name of my album. And I had started writing some songs, but to be honest, I think half of those got thrown out when I went to Japan. And while I was there, I was just so inspired to just write fresh pieces. And so the album really had its own trajectory, and I didn't foresee that happening. So lyrics wise, inspiration came from different places. Like Unity was a song that I wrote lyrics wise. I've been part of this sort of this think tank group of BIPOC creatives in the Bay Area. And over the past year and a half, I've been having these workshops and meetings about how we can create a space that supports underrepresented artists in the North Bay Area. And we would have these really awesome, just different, whatever, open think sessions. And one of the projects that we had was a retreat, and I wrote Unity after just being in the space of all these incredible artists. And when people are, with during the Black Lives Matter and our visibility, and it felt as if all of a sudden, people are like, okay, where are the BIPOC artists that we can help support? Where are you guys? We're here for you. And the point of unity is we're always here. You just chose not to see. And so that song represents the strength and the courage of our community to be different, to be courageous and bold, to continue to share our art despite the visibility and the recognition that is not always respectfully there. That makes
Okay.
sense.
Yeah. And yeah. Oh. And how has your experience just, you touched on just being Black, impacted you overall? And you said in Japan, there's kind of like a certain, I guess, peace, like
Yes.
just in the environment overall. How was
Yeah.
it like when you went to, like when you lived in London for a little bit, then you had to go to the States. Like, what were the differences that you saw in each
Right.
country you went to? Yeah.
Yeah. I was born in London, like I said, to Jamaican parents, and we moved to New York in the 80s, and then I moved later on to the Bay Area in 2010. Yeah, all very unique places. I mean, I distinctly remember as a child, the neighborhood where we were was very diverse, economically, racially, ethnically. And I remember coming to the States, and I was so taken aback by the segregation. I mean, my first school, I was there were no it was there's one Caucasian kid, John, I remember his name, but yeah, one kid. And then we're in that community for half a year, and then we moved, and then I was the only Black female in my graduating class. So it was like from one extreme to another. And I remember I just couldn't fathom that, because we're supposed to be the melting pot, right? But I wasn't seeing that integration. at all in the States. So that was jarring growing up. And then I was in New York City, and then different field there, much more diverse. So my point is, when I left London as an immigrant, I've always kind of felt displaced and never really felt like I fit into a particular place. And I think I've always sort of been searching for that community and searching for that acceptance somewhere. And during my times to Japan, I realized that home can certainly be geographical, and many times that it is, but again, it can also mean or reflect where home is within. And all the travels that I've done and where I've lived, I've realized if you can be at home within yourself, if you can be still within yourself, accept and feel present within yourself, that I think really sets the core foundation for belonging and your identity and your inner strength. And that's what this album has really shown me in this time.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for stopping by. I guess we're actually in different time zones, you guys, for our listeners. So, Eki, it's like what, 9 in the morning now for you
It's
over there?
9 a.m.
Yes.
March
Wow. And so,
27th.
yeah, here in
Yeah.
Memphis, we're currently recording this at 7 p.m. But we just want to thank you for taking out your time to just share your artistry and your story with us. It's a very unique story, but it's very beautiful. And to all of our listeners, don't forget to go to what was the website again?
www.ekishola.com.
Yes.
Ekishola. Or just Google Ekishola.
Yes, all of her information is over there. She's got some good stuff to check out, a whole lot of content. So,
Albums.
yes. But
That's
yeah,
insane.
that is crazy. Anything else you want to touch on, Devin, or want to say?
I just want to thank you for reaching out. I'm always looking for new artists, and I don't know, it was just crazy getting the email, because I just looked and I was like, I'm like, oh, okay. Like, yeah, I'll check it out. And I really liked it. Then you have like such a unique story, and it was just awesome looking at different interviews from you and just seeing how you've evolved music-wise. And yeah, it's thank you. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, and I'm honored that you both took the time to spend this evening with me too. So thank you very, very much for that opportunity. Thank
Of
you.
course, of course. Devin, you want to close us out?
Well, guys,
Trinity
this has been the Audio Box with Devin Germain
Adair.
and also
Ekishola.
thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you soon.
See you soon. Bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye. Can't you see? The lies are in front of you, told to have a story. You're to that, you're to this. We keep on delivering, your story's meant to be heard. Your worth ain't built by an algorithm. Find your own success, yeah. Don't shrink from Monday. Open wide, love will be your best, hey. Feel like time is running out, hamster wheel churning out content.
thoughts in my head. But if you stop, you're damn easy to forget. Love yourself. Back on the stage to sing. Pick a line, pick a quote, pick a picture, tell a joke. Show them love, let's not forget arts was hurting. Artists always gonna entertain, educate, inspire, and give hope. Stuck in the present moment. Don't wanna go back to before, yeah. Narrow narrative after delta. As we retreat in isolation once more. Do for yourself.